word.
Work. Wonder. World.
What up, folks? It's O'Shea Davis with the Work and Wonder podcast show where we
work
and we and we talk about
world.
Today's guest is Diego, my brother from another mother, literally. I met this guy a while back when I worked at St. Francis as a transporter, and little did he know, he was like a mentor to me during that time period. And today's show is going to be about family, it's going to be about language, it's going to be about leadership, it's going to be a fantastic conversation. And with that being said, let's take the time out to have my brother introduce himself. What up, Diego?
Hey, what's up? What's up, O'Shea? Thanks for having me, man.
No problem, brother. Let them know who you are, man. First name, last name, where you from?
Well, my name is Diego. Diego Huerta is my last name. I grew up here in Tulsa. And like you mentioned, we met back in St. Francis Hospital, man, where myself, I was a transporter. And I think the only reason why we met was because we were so similar, yet I was in a different situation at that time, and you were just coming in to where I was already there. So the reason why we met was because we were so similar, and I'll touch on that a little later, but yeah, man, I've been living here in Tulsa for about 23 years now, working anything that you can think of. I've done it, any kind of job that you can imagine. I probably have already done it for a short amount of time. But, yeah, man, I live here with my family, my brothers. Both my parents are here. We're blessed to have a good life. Also here with my family, my wife and kids.
How many kids you got?
I have three kids altogether.
Three. And then what is it, two boys, one girl?
Two boys, one girl, yeah.
How old are they, man? Shout out to the fans. How old are they?
Yeah, my oldest is Diego Jr. He's 11. He's growing up, man, so he's a lot of fun. And then my two babies, I have a four-year-old, Joao, and then a three-year-old little girl. The baby of the family is Mia. So they're both a lot of fun too, man.
They look like twins. They really do.
Yeah, a lot of people ask us if they're twins.
Yes, they look a lot alike.
They look alike, and they're out there running around chasing each other all over the place. So, yeah, man, they enjoy each other's company, too. So
that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So what I first want to do in the Work Wonder podcast, you know, we talk about work because that gives us an idea on what you do for a living. Also kind of your take on the world because of what you do, of what you've done. So with that being said, work, so literally, what do you do right now for a living?
So at this moment, what I do for a living is I work as a drafter, and I do design work for a steel fabrication company. Mm-hmm. We build steel structures for substations, electrical substations, and we focus on the poles. So we fabricate poles that are going to run transmission lines, that are going to have transmitters and generators sitting on top of them. So it's just basically steel structures. And then how I play a role is that we fabricate everything in-house. So the welders and fitters, they need blueprints to build these things. So we get the design from the customers, and the engineers do their job, and then it comes to me so that we can set up a drawing that the fitters and welders can use. We do a lot of things in-house. So we have CNC plasma machines as well.
Okay.
I program the machines to do plasma cutting for the parts that go welded onto the pole.
Oh, okay.
So like the base plates, any small part that goes attached to the pole.
Sweet, man. That sounds like a combination of engineering and design, right? It's kind of a little bit, not quite engineering, but you're pretty much helping draw the blueprint to some of these designs.
Yeah, so that they can... So the customer gives us the design of what they want. Mm-hmm. We build the blueprint, and then it gets built according to that blueprint.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Yeah, it gets sent out that way. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. So you're like Walt Disney. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, because you got someone with an idea, and then you're the middleman toward the creation. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it's kind of interesting to put it that way. It may not sound that exciting to people who may not know what that is or what drafting is. But in reality, you are, because you take the blueprint. They say, this is what I want. You draw up the blueprint and it gets created based on what you say.
According to the blueprint, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, it is nice to see the what you see on paper come to life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I get to see the machine cut out the parts that I programmed. And then I see the welder putting it on the pole. Mm-hmm. And then you see the pole in its entirety. It's built and it's ready to ship. And once you see it on the back of the trailer going out to the substation, man, it's gratifying because mm-hmm. you know you played a part.
Yes.
And putting it together. So
that's awesome, man.
It's a lot of fun.
And that's our natural inclination as human beings, is to create. We just like creating. You think about it as being a child. If we go back to the days being childlike, we would take toys, or sometimes if we didn't even have toys, we would make toys,
mm-hmm.
rocks, sticks,
yep.
and we come up with games because it was our way of creating something. And the product of it all happening was the most satisfying part,
yep.
right? Because if you can imagine it, it was fun, but when it came to life, you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, so
that
that's how it sounds like it happens. So.
Yep. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I do for a living, you know. Now,
do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of fun, and especially when you get that feeling that you're playing a part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the welders, and I'm sure the engineers, and everybody in the company feels the same way, because you see the product go out, finished, ready to be installed where it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
and it's fun, man. I know everybody enjoys it, and it's just a fun place to be.
Yeah, man. So with that being said, for other people who may be in that situation where they may be interested in graphic design or art or some form of what you do, how do they get started? Is it a program they have to sign up for, or do they have to get associate's, a bachelor degree in it?
My background has always been in design, drafting, engineering. I started with the simple interest. You know, I was interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to TCC.
Okay.
I was there doing my basics. And then I got to a point where I was like, oh, maybe I want to do engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So I started veering my career path towards engineering. And I started taking small AutoCAD classes, which is the main software that's used for drafting. I started diving into the software, and I just liked it, man. I mean, it was just, for me, I think I've always kind of been a creative thinker or a creative person who always wants to draw, design, you know, anything like that. So it was just a good interest of mine that was always in the front of my mind. So I knew that I always wanted to do that. So I just pursued it, man. I went to TCC, like I said, did some basic classes. It takes practice to get good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working in drafting for about 9 or 10 years now. So I definitely know that it's something that it's an interest of mine. I think otherwise I would have left it behind a long time ago.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, man. And that's great that you have something you enjoy, because a lot of people are still searching for that.
Yeah.
They're like, what, do I enjoy this? Do I want to do this for the rest of my life? You know, and it's challenging. Luckily, I love what I do too. So it's very easy for me to be like, oh yeah, I could do this for 20, 30 years. Why not? Right. So the other thing I want to ask you about is some of your favorite hobbies/pastimes. What are those? What do you do in your free time other than hanging out with your family? Cause I know that's probably one of your favorite things to do. But as far as individually, what do you do when you have time?
So when I have time for myself, is I learn. And I believe that we can learn from everything that we do, and from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. I'm always learning. So if I'm cooking, I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm cleaning, I'm learning. If I'm working out at the gym, which is my biggest hobby, I go to the gym every day. It's kind of like where I set the groundwork for my day. I'm learning there. If I'm reading, I'm learning, obviously. If I'm practicing, I love practicing languages. So if I'm doing that, I'm learning. Even if, someone like myself, even taking something that might be considered leisure time, for example, watching a series on Netflix or a movie, I'm watching something that's based on true story. Something, a mini series that's from a court case or something. Like, I'm always learning. So I think that's my biggest hobby, is learning. And then it's just tied into everything that I do. All of my activities, I always look at it and say, okay, what can I learn from this? And then I go from there.
Yeah, I love that, man, because I'm the same way. I'm a philomath. I don't know if you ever heard that term, but you've won too. And that's mean a lover of learning. Mm. So philomath is come from a Greek terminology, but it's basically philosophy to math, meaning you liked all walks of education and subject matter, which is awesome. You know, and you mentioned language, which is going to be a big portion of this podcast right now. We were just talking about it before we started, just to get a precursor to what we will talk about. But, you know, your boy is currently studying Spanish, and being obviously a native English speaker, it's a little challenging being 26 now and deciding. Mm-hmm. And I've been knowing for years I wanted to learn, and I finally started using Duolingo for a year, learned quite a bit of words. But now I'm in that phase of conversation. So your native tongue is Spanish, right?
Or I would say my native tongue is Spanish.
Okay, it is Spanish. So you went from there, and then you started learning English at what age?
I was actually 6.
Okay. You spoke Spanish from age born to 6?
Yeah, and to kind of touch on that, I grew up in Tulsa, but I was born in Mexico.
Okay.
So I was born in Mexico.
What part?
I was born in Mexico City.
Okay. You know, shout out Mexico City.
Yeah, yeah. I was born there.
Ciudad de Mexico?
Ciudad de Mexico. Yeah. So I was born there, and then our family moved to the United States in 97.
Okay.
So I was 6 when I got here. So I grew up here in Tulsa, and I've been here ever since. So when I got here, I didn't know any English. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to kindergarten and I didn't know any English. So you can say that I naturally learned English because I don't remember learning English.
I see what you're saying.
I don't remember having a lesson. I don't remember speaking incorrectly. I don't remember somebody saying dog is perro or rojo is red. I don't remember any classes. I don't remember any of that stuff. So when I say that I'm a native Spanish speaker, I sometimes include that I'm also a native English speaker. Because like I said, I don't remember. And most people don't know that much of English even at 6 years old. You can conversate and stuff like that, but you've never learned the language the way an adult would learn a language.
Yes, because you're still in that childlike mind where it's real easy for you to learn and adapt to the environment.
Because all you know is what you've been taught.
Which is not a whole lot at 6 years old.
It's 6 years old, exactly.
So, yes. So,
I was very lucky, man. Very fortunate to have gotten here at such a young age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the... I feel like I had an advantage. Sometimes I say that I didn't learn English... I picked it up, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, Spanish was programmed into me first, and then English right away. So, for as long as I can remember, I've always spoken English. Those two are, I would say, they're my native languages.
Got you, which is awesome. I mean, that for you, that's good to know. For people such as myself, not that it's discouraging, but you go, dang, I wish I would have.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know? Yeah.
Because now you have to pull your mind away from what you know to almost pretend as if you don't know nothing.
Exactly.
And trying to absorb the information.
Exactly.
And like you said, overcoming earlier before we started, you said overcoming that language that you already know as a source to interpret.
Yeah.
And that's so hard.
Exactly. Yeah.
So with that being said, how many languages do you know now?
I'm fluent in 3.
Three languages. What are those languages?
Spanish, English, and Portuguese.
Got you.
Specifically, Brazilian Portuguese.
And so you're studying your...
Now I'm studying my 4th. I'm learning Italian.
Man, this dude's on fire, y'all.
It's another Latin-based language.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I started learning Portuguese was simply out of interest. And it kind of touches back on how I've always been so attentive to my intuition or to my own interest, to my personal interest. I kind of just listened to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was actually sitting at St. Francis, and I can still remember the day where I was just sitting there. Something told me to learn Portuguese. That was an interest of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened. I said, wow, I want to learn Portuguese. So I listened to myself. And ever since then, I've been learning. So I've been learning Portuguese for about 5 years now.
Oh, wow.
But it all started from me listening to myself. Mm-hmm. And it's been such an enjoyable process. I can say that I'm fluent in Portuguese. I can understand and have a conversation at a good level, at a good pace. And I can listen to the radio and know what they're saying, or a newscast and know what they're saying. So that was very fun, man. You know that you want to draw, for example, mm-hmm. and it comes to you. But then you kick it out of your mind because you say, oh, I can't draw.
Yes, you know? I know what you're talking about.
You know? Oh, so yeah. We kick stuff out of our minds all the time, but it came to you for a reason.
Yes.
And I think it's our inner intuition. Mm-hmm. Intuition, that's inter, right? The key word
mm-hmm.
is that sometimes you just need to listen to it. You know?
Yeah, I agree with you, man, because I think a lot of people are scared of trying something new, or they just don't have the confidence, or they feel like there's a cap or limit on what they can achieve or do. My boy Robert Greene, one of my favorite authors, talk about is being childlike. Mm-hmm. You know, realizing that the limits that you have are really the ones you place upon yourself.
Exactly.
And for me to say I'm 26 years old now, I'm trying to learn Spanish, for some people they would have been like, man, you're gonna have a hard time. Yeah. And that could be true, but it's about how, one, my approach, my method in which I do it, and how dedicated I am to learning it. I can't be halfway in it. I can't be, oh, I kind of want to learn. I kind of don't want to learn. I got to want to learn. And it's making that decision, like you said, that inner intuition that you say, okay, that thought came to mind. Oh, man, I really love how to work on motorcycles. Okay, mm-hmm. well, get a book.
Yeah.
Start reading about it. Watch YouTube
Start
videos.
The process,
Start.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, is starting.
Start, yep.
And once you start it, you create a routine out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, I literally look at, now the app I'm using is Memorize. Yeah, but it's the way it's spelled. Yeah. That's what trips
exactly.
you up.
Yep.
Yeah, Memorize. So it's Memrise, the way they do it. So it almost makes you think mesmerize, but it's memorize.
Memorize.
But yes, I use that one. And before that, I was using Duolingo literally every day for a year.
Yeah.
And
I saw your progress.
Yes.
Yeah, you did your job on that.
No, thank you, brother. And I'm still learning. I know a lot of words in Spanish, but it's bringing it all together that's challenging, and that's just practicing that and getting better with that. But I want to do some myth busting. And what I mean by that is what we talked about earlier, is when people think because you learn one language, you can easily learn the next one. So let them know what's up about that.
Man, that's a half truth right there, man, because people think that because you know Spanish, you can learn French or Italian or Portuguese because they're so similar. It's true, but it's true because if you know two languages, then your brain is wired to learn patterns. So now your brain is trained to learn patterns, and that's all language learning is. The reason why it's so hard for a person who only knows one language to learn a second language is because their brain is not trained to learn in patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. once you learn that second language, now your brain knows how to learn in patterns, so that third language becomes easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brain is already in that mode,
mode. Yes.
So,
okay.
So it's not, oh, I know two languages, so now I can learn more. No, it's you have the skills now to learn more. Like, your brain is trained to learn differently now.
Gotcha.
So, it would be really crazy for me to say, oh, well, you speak three languages, so now you can learn how to fix a motorcycle. No, it's different. Your brain is not trained in that area.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So it's crazy to think that. So it's actually not crazy to think that somebody who speaks three can learn four, five, and six.
Got you.
You know, it would almost be expected because your brain is already set to learn.
Got
more,
you. Yes. You
know?
Yes.
So if you know how to fix a motorcycle, you might learn how to work on a different motor,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
maybe
mm-hmm.
a motor from a Sea-Doo or a motor from something similar to a bike.
Yes.
Your brain is already programmed to fix a motor on a bike. Mm-hmm. So now you can progress to something else.
Yes.
So
that makes sense.
And it's because your brain is wired that way.
Yes.
You know? So,
yes.
So I think that's the kind of analogy that we can use is, so you can go from one car to another model.
Yes,
you know?
That makes sense.
And it's because your brain is trained that way.
Well, and that's an awesome way to look at that, too. And when I was mentioning myth busting, you know, it was more about, one, like you said, acknowledging that your brain has now learned a way to acquire skills similar to that of the original skill. Mm-hmm. A perfect example, if you want to teach your kid checkers or even chess, it's not a bad idea to first teach them tic-tac-toe.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Even though they're of different advanced level of games, but if a kid can't grasp tic-tac-toe, how could he possibly learn chess?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so exactly. Grasping tic-tac-toe first and going, okay, you get this. Yeah. All right. Next, maybe connect four.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. You exactly. Get connect four. Yep. Okay. Checkers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we keep working up the chain.
Yep.
Not that any language is necessarily harder than the other, but we got to first, one, understand our own language.
Mm-hmm.
Because we still, as people, are still learning our own language.
Exactly, every day.
So that's one thing, is learning that. And that's where I got a little bit in Noam Chomsky, as a famous linguist as he is. I'm still learning it about him, so I don't want to act like I know a whole lot mm-hmm. about him. But I know that with the way that we learn our language, like you mentioned, it's the way our brain operates and interpret the information. Which brings me to my other point, which is, what was the transition like learning Spanish to Portuguese to now Italian, as in, was it difficult? Was it easy? Or was it, because everyone says, oh, you learn this, you can learn this easily. I mean, what is your take on?
Well, it's going to depend on how you approach it.
Okay.
I'm learning Italian. It's because I figured out the blueprint on how to learn a language.
Mm.
I made a lot of mistakes learning Portuguese. I didn't take it serious in the beginning. I doubted myself so many times. I said the two most dangerous words that you can think of. I said them over and over again, and those two words are, for what? You know, why are you doing this? For
mm-hmm,
what?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And man, those two words will shut you down so fast that it's amazing, man. But I did so many. I made so many errors in the beginning. A lot of trial and error, and then I learned so much at the same time. So now that I'm learning Italian, I'm applying all the things that I've learned. So now I can say that I have a blueprint for learning. I know exactly how I'm going to do it. I know that it's a daily process. It's a slow process. You have to keep that spirit that, you know, you have to have some patience in mind that, you know, it takes time. It's just one of those things that, that you can study 10 hours of a language in a day and then never study it again, and you'll forget everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's a pattern. I think that's exactly the best way to learn a language, is to make it into a habit.
Yes, and I agree with you on that. That's where how learning occurs, is through those patterns that you speak of, is really habits forming from our choice or our decisions to pursue a subject. Because you will create those neural pathways or those connections in your brains from one thing to the next by reiterating what you learn either every day or trying to build upon what you learned yesterday.
So moving from English and Spanish have always been my base.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult moving into Portuguese. What was difficult about it was the doubts that I was imposing on myself. I think that was the most difficult part. It wasn't the words. It wasn't the sentence structure. It was the self-doubt that I was feeding myself from time to time. Now that I understand where the self-doubt comes from, and I understand that it's normal to feel the frustration that it comes with trying to learn a new language, I don't apply that to Italian anymore.
I see.
Because I learned to live with, you're not going to learn it in 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned to live with, you're going to make mistakes. So I don't want to say that Italian learning now is easy, because it's never easy. But I learned so much from learning Portuguese that now learning this fourth language, I'm applying what I learned from the learning process to now.
Got you.
That's why learning a fourth or a fifth language becomes easier, because you have learned how to, you've learned so much throughout the process. So it isn't the words, it isn't that you're getting smarter. It's that you're getting wiser. You're understanding that you're understanding the process better.
Yes, and that makes sense for sure. And that's where it kind of goes back. You pretty much put it out on the advice to give individuals trying to learn the language, and it sounds like stop doubting yourself.
Stop doubting, exactly.
And create habits in which keep you learning. The other one that is very popular idea in philosophy, I think, I know you agree with, because I remember reading it on one of your Instagram stories, but it was about submersion.
Submersion.
Right? So, exactly. So, because that forces you to learn. That's why a six-year-old Diego was in a class full of everybody who spoke English, and he had to make it happen. Yeah. If he wanted what these other kids wanted, if it was a toy, he had to know how to say that, right? What is toy in Spanish again?
Juguete.
So if he wanted a toy, he had to know, instead of saying juguete, he had to know how to say toy.
Yep.
And he had to listen to these other kids and go, what did they say? Okay. Okay, so he's saying toy when he grabs this, right? And you make those connections because you had to. And that's where me and the wife for our honeymoon went to Miami, and that's what re-sparked my interest in Spanish.
Nice.
Because when I was there, as you know, 70% of the population speaks Spanish.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of people who speak English, of course, too. Out of all our Uber drivers, literally 9 out of 10 Uber drivers spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
And I'm getting in his car and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And like, eh. All right. You know, and then the music that they're playing is usually Hispanic music. And I started asking a guy, like, who's this band? Like, who is this? This is dope, you know? And he would tell me, he would say, hey, yeah, this is the band, or this is the group of individuals. And I look it up and I'm like, I like this, you know? And that kind of made me be back and interested in Spanish, but also re-sparked my interest for the culture. Because when you learn a language, you're also learning the culture.
Exactly.
So you can't isolate a language away from the culture. No, it's not possible. No. So you gotta like both, and I do love Hispanic culture.
Yeah. So for those who are interested in learning languages, you first have to kind of separate. You have to understand what learning a language is. You touched on it. If you're learning a language, you're also learning the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't always true the other way around, because I can learn so much about a culture, but then not know the language, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going the direction of learning languages, be sure that you're going to learn so much about the culture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So for those who want to learn, just understand that learning the culture is going to come with the learning process.
Mm-hmm.
And also considering making it what it is, right? Learning languages is just learning languages.
Mm.
It's not going to make you a better communicator per se.
Mm.
Because an effective communicator, all they need to do is just speak one language, right?
True.
Some of the best communicators in the world only speak English, right? You can say it that way. Communication and learning languages is two different things. It's not going to make you a better communicator. People aren't going to understand you better. You won't get any superpowers just because you're learning languages, right? Learning languages will open your mind to a different world.
Yes.
And since the world is so big, you can be overwhelmed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, you're going to dump all these new words into your brain, and your brain is going to want to remember them, and you're going to want to speak, and that's why it becomes so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So first it has to be a real interest.
Yes.
Because what it is, it has to be a daily thing. And if it's not something that you want to do every day, then you'll do it for a day out of the week or 2 days out of the week.
Yes.
And it's really hard to learn a language that way.
Absolutely.
So if you want to learn languages, it has to be something that you enjoy. And you have to make it you don't want it to be a grueling process. You don't want to suffer while you're learning. You know, nobody wants to do anything and then it be something that you just don't like. You know, you don't enjoy. So really, really ask yourself if that's something you want to do. And if it is, man, there's so many cool ways to learn. You can put on the radio and just listen to it every day or every morning when you're cleaning. Put on your headphones and play some Spanish music. Or if you're commuting to work, you know, play something in Spanish, you know.
Word.
Wonder. Work.
Wonder World.
Work.
Wonder World.
Transmitting live to Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Hobart, and Brisbane.